This week we're going to learn about the famous duel between David and Goliath, otherwise known as David and Goliath. And we're going to see exactly how it plays out. Now, first of all, who is Goliath? Who is he? Sorry?
You're going to answer, I guess.
Yeah. Who's Goliath?
He's Orpah's grandson.
Orpah's son.
He's David's cousin.
Right, exactly.
One way
so,
or the other.
Yeah, exactly. So David and... First cousin, four times removed. So David and Goliath are really related to each other. Now, the same night that Orpah and Ruth went with Naomi, and Naomi told them, go home to your father, go home to live a nice, comfortable life by the king, don't join me, I have nothing to offer you. And Ruth refuses, she says, no, wherever you go, I'm going. And Orpah says, you know what, I agree, it's not a good idea, I'm going to go back. That same night, the Medrash tells us, Orpah went back to, on the way back to the palace, she was violated by 100 men and a dog. That's what it says in the Medrash. Now, out of this relationship with the dog, Orpah conceived, and she gave birth to four giants. One of them was Goliath. He was one of the giants. And we're going to see exactly what kind of man he was in this parak. So parak Zayin opens up. V'yasfu plishtim es machaneim l'melchoma v'yosfu soichoi asher liyudo v'yachnu bein soichoi ben azeko be'efes domim. Now, why did they go ahead and gather up for war again? Shaul just defeated them. He just went, there was a major battle between the Jews and the plishtim. Shaul and Yonasan, as we saw before, managed to completely defeat the plishtim. And now all of a sudden they're coming again and engaging in war with the Jewish people. What's going on over here? So the Malbim explains that since Shaul did not have the Ruach Hashem with him anymore, he did not have Hashem's spirit, the plishtim sensed it on some level, and they felt that the king is not 100% with it anymore, and therefore they seized the opportunity to go ahead and attack the Jewish people. So first, the pasuk says they gathered in Soichoi, which was still on the plishtim side, but then they became extremely bold and they even went into Efes Damim, which was in the land of the Jews. They actually passed the border and entered the Jewish land. Shaul and all the Jewish soldiers, the Jewish army, gathered in Emek Ela, which was on the other side of this valley, and they set up for war together against Plishtim. There were two mountains. The Plishtim were on one mountain, the Jewish people were on the other mountain, and there was a valley in between them. The pasuk describes Goliath as Ish HaBeinayim. There are two pshatim that are brought down in the Gemara. One pshat is that Ish HaBeinayim refers to Ein Boimum. There was no flaw in his body. He was perfect. Physically, he was perfect. And another pshat is that Ish HaBeinayim refers to his physical size. He had three brothers. He was one of four. And there were brothers that were smaller than him, and brothers that were bigger than him. They were all giants, but he was in the middle. Ish HaBeinayim, he was in the middle, not the biggest, not the smallest. So there, even though he was really big, really big, he was six amos. And Azaras, he was still not the biggest one among his brothers. So he had this copper helmet on his head. And he was carrying this shield this shield that had that was made out of metal scales, and it weighed 5,000 shekelim nechoshes, which is about 250 pounds. So obviously, it was very strong. If he could carry 250 pounds, which is what his shield was weighing, it was obviously a very, very powerful guy.
There was his armor or his shield?
Exactly how tall was he?
Nine and a half feet. Something.
Yeah, so an amma is a bit more than a foot. An amma.
Yeah.
It's a bit more than a foot.
18. From
yeah.
18 inches.
18 inches, right. So it's about a foot and a half almost, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
About a foot and a half, so... Yeah, so about nine and a half feet.
How much?
Nine feet. Nine and a half feet. Almost ten feet.
All right.
That's pretty tall. I don't know if there are any basketball players in the NBA that are 10 feet.
And had, nobody's 9 feet.
No?
And he had shoes on, too, so maybe...
Yeah, exactly. Pasuk Vav continues, U'mitzachat nechoshes al raglov, v'kidun nechoshes bein k'seifo. He had armor for his feet, made out of copper, and kizun nechoshes ben k'seifav. He had this some kind of weapon that was on his shoulders. So even if he did not have any sword left, he was still able to charge the enemy and run into him with his shoulder, because he had this this weapon, this sharp weapon that was situated on his shoulders.
Here he says it's a javelin.
Yeah. Some kind of weapon. B'chetz chanisai kiminor orgim v'lahavas chanisai shesh meishkolim barzel v'neisa tzino oilech lefonov. So now the sharp part of his spear weighed about 30 pounds. Only the sharp part of it. Not including the rest of the spear. So he was carrying this very heavy weight of his armor and his weapons. So he was clearly a very strong man. Vayamid veikor el marchos Yisrael. Vayarmelem. Lomo teitzu larechem l'choma. Le'anoichi aplishti v'atem avodim l'shol. Beruluchem ish v'yered elai. He's calling out to the Jewish people and saying, Why should we engage in war? Just, why don't you choose one guy, he's going to fight me, and that way we'll decide who won in the war. Now, there seems to be a big machlokes over here. If what Goliath was calling for was actually a duel, which meant that a duel, there are set rules, you go according to the rules, and whatever the outcome is, you have to honor it, you have to respect it, and that side is going to be the winning side. So, according to one pshat, according to the Mari, he held that this battle between David and Goliath, or at least the battle that Goliath was calling for, was not a duel. Because if it was, then they should have set the rules. You know, what's going to happen, what's going to be. If we win, then we're going to be slaves to you. If you don't win, we're going to then the opposite. And if it was really a duel, they should have set up two soldiers that had the same exact armor. We all know that David did not have the armor that Goliath had. So clearly it wasn't a fair duel. Because if it was, then how could you have David fight Goliath? He had nothing. David had a slingshot and a stick. And Goliath had all this heavy armor and these fancy weapons. So he goes out and proves that it really was not a duel. But the Malbim completely disagrees with him. And he holds that Goliath really was calling for a duel. As we're going to see later on, he wanted to set up the the conditions of this duel in a way where if I go ahead and defeat the Jewish soldier that will fight me, then you will be slaves to the Plishtim like you were before. However, you have nothing to lose because right now you are slaves. Sorry. Right now you are slaves to Shaul. So what do you care if you're going to be slaves to Shaul or slaves to the Plishtim? It doesn't really make any difference to you. However, us, the Plishtim, if we go ahead and lose the war, we're going to become slaves to the Jewish people, and we have a lot to lose. Because the way it was set up, Plishtim did not have any king. They did not have a king. All they had was government officials that were in charge of the different areas in of the Plishtim. And they had this kind of government where there was no real king that called the shots. So they weren't really slaves to anybody. So they really stood a lot to lose if Goyos would lose this duel. So that seems to be the machlekes between the two pshatim. For now, we're going to go with the pshat of the Malbim that really Goyos was calling for a duel. Later on, he changed what he was calling for, as we're going to see. So he's calling them, why don't you choose one guy to come and fight me, and that will set up the terms are that if we lose, we're going to be slaves to you. If you lose, you're going to be slaves to us. If I lose, then we're going to be slaves to you. If he loses, then you, the Jews, will be slaves to us. So this at this point, the Balaam explains, it was not really any disgrace to the Jewish people, because he's calling for a fair duel. It was apparently a very accepted way to decide who won the war in those days. Just instead of two huge armies going and fighting with each other and hundreds and thousands of soldiers dying, just set two soldiers. Every army will send out their most skilled soldier, and that way, instead of killing hundreds of thousands, you have one person killed, and that's it. So this really was not a disgrace to the Jewish people yet. We're going to see later on that he changed the terms. He's now, the plishti is saying, I'm the plishti. And at this point already, he is, according to some pshatim, he is disgracing the Jewish people, because he realizes that there is no one among the Jewish people who wants to fight him. Everyone is scared. They're terrified. Chazal say that Ish is actually even referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Ish. And God is saying, even Ish, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, does not have the power, so to speak, to fight me. And this is already a disgrace to the Jewish people. All the Jewish people are hearing this and they are terrified. Why is Shaul so terrified? The main reason is because Ruach Hashem, the Spirit of Hashem, already left him. He does not have that divine spirit, and therefore he does not have the inspiration to go ahead and bring out the strength of the Jewish people and say we have nothing to worry because Hashem could save us. But David ben Ish afrati azem yiris lechem Yehuda ushma Yishai v'lo yishma in the banim v'ish v'imei shol zaken bo ba'anashim. So David was now he was not part of the war, even though he was the nice kelim to Shaul. He was Shaul's personal servant, as we saw last week. But however, he was not in the war. The reason was because, first of all, the way it was done in those days, there was a draft, but only the older brothers went to war. The younger ones stayed at home to take care of their family. So since David was one of the youngest brothers, he stayed at home to take care of his father. As you see, his father was very old. That was another reason why he had to stay home, because his father was very old, and they needed someone to take care of him. So there are two reasons why David was not at the war, even though he was Shaul's personal servant. The older sons, the three elder sons of Yishai, went to war. The names of these three elder sons were Eliav, Abinadav, and Shama. David is the smallest one, and the three older ones go to war with Shaul. David was kept on going back and forth from the war back to the house, because he was the shepherd. He could not leave the sheep alone for such a long time. Therefore, he was going back and forth. For a few days, he was Shaul's personal servant, and then he would go back home to take care of the sheep and to take care of his father and his family. Every morning and every night, he would go ahead, the Plishti, Goliath would go ahead and curse out the Jewish people, say, you guys are very scared, you're terrified, you have no one can fight for you, even a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, why did he go in the morning and at night? So Chazal say, because he knew that in the morning and at night, they read the Kriya Shema. And he wanted to go ahead and disturb them reading the Kriya Shema, because he knew that if they dive into Hashem the right way, then they actually have a chance of defeating him. And therefore, he went specifically these times to distract them from reading Kriya Shema the right way, from davening like they're supposed to, and he was hoping that they would not be able to read Kriya Shema. V'yemar Yishai l'David b'noi, kachon no l'achecho eifas hakol yazeh, v'asar lechem azeh, v'harei tzamachane l'achecho. Since they were at war for such a long time, they ran out of food. So Yishai, the father of David, tells him, why don't you go ahead and bring your older three brothers some food, this bread. I want you to go ahead and bring these milk products to Sarah Aleph. The way the army was set up, there was a general over every 1,000 soldiers. They were set up in groups of 1,000 soldiers. And Yishai is telling David to go ahead and bring these milk products to the general of the 1,000 soldiers where the three elder brothers were, part of that group, because he wanted his brothers to have special care by the general, by their general, and therefore he's telling David to go ahead and give him these milk products.
You're allowed to bribe them.
Yeah, it was some kind of like, I don't know if it was really bribery, but whatever he wanted them to be well taken care of. And the pasuk ends off, Ves arubasam tikach. According to one pshat, this means that since they were waiting for the war for such a long time, they had to borrow money in order to buy food. And so Yishai is telling David, why don't you go ahead and pay off their debts and get back the
IOU.
The diary, yeah. What's the word?
IOU.
Something
like an IOU, and then
right,
pay back.
And right, so an Aruba is a
pledge.
Pledge. I'm thinking you give something when you borrow money, right? And when you pay off the debt, then the person gives it back to you. A diary, right?
IOU.
Right. So that's according to one pshat. According to another pshat, he was actually bringing a get from brothers. The Gemara says that any time kol yisrael melchemes beis David, meshalach gets krisis leishto. Anyone who goes out to war has to give a get to his wife, because we're afraid that this man is going to die at war and leave his wife as either an aguna, or she has to do yibum. She will not know for sure if her husband died, and even if she does know, then she will have to do yibum with her husband's brother. And therefore, the Gemara says everyone would send out a get to his wife before he went out to war. If he came back from war, then the get was cancelled, and they obviously are still married.
One thing, that get before he comes out and says, we don't have to fight, just send me somebody, and that's
right.
All. Now, that didn't happen, right?
No.
When exactly did the war start? How long did they ponder this idea? Should they send somebody?
It was for 40 days. 40 days.
And then they started fighting.
Well, we're going to see. We're
going to
see right now.
Wait a second.
This went on for 40 days. Every morning and every night, he would come out and curse out the Jewish people. You guys are scared. You're terrified. Even Hashem cannot fight for you. And as this went on until the 40th day, which now David is coming on this day, and we're going to see exactly what's going to happen. B'shol v'heim v'chol Yisrael b'emek ha'ela nilchomim im plishtim. Shaul and the Jewish people are now preparing for war with the Plishtim. This is on the 40th day. V'yashkim David b'boiker v'yidush esatzayin al ha-shomer v'yisa v'yilech kasher tivo yishai v'yivoyu ha-ma'agola v'achayel ha-yitzi el ha-maracho v'yireu b'melchomo. So David wakes up in the morning. That morning he appoints someone to watch over the sheep while he's away. And he goes over to the war to bring his brothers the food that they needed and the money to pay off the debts. Now, the Jewish people are already setting up for war. There was a group that left the camp in order to already start engaging war. They didn't start the war yet, but they were prepared to. So now, these two camps, Israel on one hand, and the Plishtim on the other hand, they're both sending out, regrouping their army to engage in war. So when David got to the camp, he realized that his brothers are not there. So he actually went ahead, he started running to the front lines where his brothers were. They were already about to go into war. Now this was all orchestrated by Hashem to make sure that David will be right there at the right time when Goliath comes up to curse out the Jewish people, to curse out Hashem, and he was there to hear it, to hear exactly when Goliath came out. Now the Jewish people, when they saw that Goliath was coming out, they were terrified. Because they thought he was now gonna attack them. So they actually started running away from Goliath. David is now in the front lines. He's hearing the soldiers talking among themselves and saying, anyone who goes ahead to fight this giant, Goliath, will be rewarded by the king. He will be able to marry the king's daughter. He will be given his father's family will not have to pay tax anymore. And the king will obviously reward him with great wealth. David is now saying, why is it that you guys are talking about the reward that this person is gonna get when he fights this giant? Isn't it enough that you will stop this man from cursing the Jewish people, from desecrating the name of God? Shouldn't that be enough? Why are you looking for wealth and to marry the king's daughter? That shouldn't be your reasoning. That shouldn't be your what's motivating you to go ahead and fight this man. It's enough that you should stand up for the name of Hashem. That should be a real reason. They answer him and they're saying, you're right, that is the real reason. We're just saying, you know, by the way, it will be a nice bonus to also marry the king's daughter and to be very wealthy. Eliab is hearing David talking to these Jewish soldiers, and he gets very upset. He's telling him, what are you doing here, first of all? You're supposed to be taking care of the shepherd, taking care of the sheep, taking care of my father. Why did you even come down to the war? Obviously, you just want to see the action of the war. You want to see, well, you know, what's going on, and want to be part of the action. And this is, by the way, the reason that we saw last week that Eliab was not fit to be king. Since he had this midah, this trait of getting angry, even though it was not such a temper where he was like literally breaking stuff, but it was enough on a level that he was getting angry at David HaMelech. It says he got angry in his heart, and that was the reason he was not able to be king. David is saying, what do you want from me? I'm not doing anything. I'm just talking. That's all I'm doing. I didn't do anything yet. There's no reason you should be upset at me. So now, he's now spreading the word. He's telling all the Jewish people, I'm willing to go ahead and fight Goliath in order to stand up for the name of Hashem, to stop this man from cursing out the Jewish people. And we're going to see the word spread and got all the way to Shaul. The word spread very quickly. Everyone realized that there's one man who's willing to stand up and fight this giant Goliath. And the word got all the way to Shaul. Shaul calls for David and wants everyone to bring him over. David is now saying, no one should be heartbroken and distraught because of this giant Goliath. I'm willing to go ahead and fight him. At this point, Shaul is calling David a nar. A nar is a young boy. You're a young boy. You don't have the ability.
Experience.
Yeah, you don't have any experience. You don't have the ability to fight this man. This man is a trained warrior from when he was very young. And you have no experience fighting. There's no way you could go ahead and defeat this giant. It's just impossible. David is now telling Shaul what happened to him while he was a shepherd for the sheep of his father. There was a bear and a lion who took a sheep from the herd. I went ahead, I ran after him, I got the sheep out of his mouth, and then when he attacked me, I grabbed his beard and killed him with my bare hands. So this Goliath is just like this bear and this lion that I defeated with my bare hands. So obviously it means that I have the ability to go ahead and fight this giant Goliath. Now we realize that the pasuk repeats the words Doiv and Ari many times. Chazal darshan that there were actually three lions and four bears that attacked David, and David managed to kill all of them. Now,
all at once or
no, separately? Different times, yeah, separately. So now David is already giving a different reason. Until now he was just saying, naturally, I obviously have the ability to fight off lions and bears, I can clearly fight this giant. But now he's using a different reason. He's saying, clearly Hashem is with me, and I have Ruach Hashem that is possessing me, and I can go ahead and fight Goliath. When Shaul hears this, he's now convinced, because naturally he didn't think there was any reason, there was any way that David was able to fight Goliath. But when he realized that David had Ruach Hashem with him, then he was convinced, and he was willing to send David to fight Shaul. But Yalbash Shaul is David Madav, and Nasan Koyvin Choshes Al Reishai, but Yalbash Oisai Shiryai. Shaul actually gave David his personal armor in order to fight Goliath. And Chazal say that Bederech Neis, even though Shaul was a much taller and bigger man than David, Bederech Neis, the personal armor of Shaul fit David exactly as if it was custom designed. Vayachar David is charbi me'al lamada, vayoyel aleches ki loy nisa, vayomar David l'shol, loy uchal aleches be'ele, ki loy nisisi vayasirim David me'al. Chazal say that David realized that Bederech Neis, he was able to fit into the clothes, into the armor of Shaul, and he knew that Shaul would be very uncomfortable because he saw that that the armor fits David, and he would feel bad. So David went ahead and said, listen, I'm not used to this. I can't wear it. It's too heavy for me. I want you to just take it off. I can't. It won't help me at all. Ve'ikach makalim bi'odah ve'yivchal l'chamisha chalukei avonim min ha'nachal ve'yosam b'yisim b'kli ha'roim ha'shaloi ve'yakut v'kalim bi'odah ve'yigash el ha'plishti. David is now going ahead. He's choosing five rocks. He's got a slingshot and his stick. And that's what he's using to go ahead to fight Goliath. Goliath is now coming closer to David. The Plishti Goyas sees David and he says, "Oh, there's no reason I should go and approach him. You only approach someone that is actually equal to you, and there's a chance. It's actually a fair chance that it's a real duel. But David, there's no way he's gonna defeat me. I'm so bigger than him. This guy is such a young guy. He looks like a very unexperienced warrior. There's no way he's gonna be able to defeat me. Therefore, I don't even have to go forward, and I don't even have to approach him in order to fight him." According to the Malbim, the fact that he was good-looking showed that he was spoiled and not a trained warrior, therefore there's no way he was able to defeat him. Chazal say that the reason why the Pasuk notes that David was good-looking is because Goliath actually had a desire to... he was physically attracted to David, according to Chazal. Goliath is now turning to David and says, "Am I a dog that you're coming to fight me with a stick?" And he's now cursing out Hashem. He's cursing out the God of David. Now this refers back to the Medrash that we mentioned before, that Arpah, the mother of Goliath, was violated by a dog, and she conceived from that relationship. And it says in the Medrash that Goliath actually felt this dog within him. He felt the dog part within him, and he wanted to see if other people see it as well. And that's why he tells David, "Am I a dog that you're coming to fight me with a stick?" Because he felt that inside of him, he wanted to see if other people see it as well. He turns to David and says, "Come to me. He doesn't even want to go to him. He says, "You come to me. I'm not going to go ahead and approach you. You're not worth it. Come to me. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to give your flesh to the bird of the sky and to the behemoth asadeh, and to the behemoths in the fields." Now, David realized at this point that Goliath is not 100% with it, because behemoths do not eat meat. So there's no reason Goliath should say that he's going to give the flesh of David to the behemoths of Sadeh, because they don't eat meat. At this point, he realized that there was something wrong with Goliath, and he saw that there was a chance he could actually defeat him. "You are now coming to me with a sword and with a spear. I am coming to you with the name of Hashem, the one you cursed out. I will now cut off your head and give your flesh to the birds and to the animals, and everyone will know that Hashem is with the Jewish people. I will now prove even to the Jewish people." The Jewish people until now, what do they think? They thought that you have to actually engage in war, you have to have a fair combat, you know, powerful army on each side. But Hashem obviously will bring the Yeshua to the army that he wants to help out. But I'm now going to show that it's not even true. You can have someone who's completely weak, who has no physical strength, and he can still go ahead and defeat someone who is way, way stronger than him. Goliath is now approaching David because he was angered from his words. And David is now running towards the Plishti, because he wants to go ahead and use the slingshot to shoot a rock at his head. Veishlach David asiyad al keli veikach misham even veikala veyachas aplishdi al mitzchay batit baha even b'mitzchay v'yibol al panov arza. He now goes ahead. He shoots a rock to the head, to the forehead of Goliath. He hits him exactly in the middle of the forehead. The Evan sinks into the forehead of the Plishti. It does not kill him. It stuns him, and he now falls to the floor.
Right. The thing he wanted, it must have been, the thing he was wearing had a little hole.
Right. We're going to get to that. That's a very good point. How did the
rock,
little rock, penetrate the armor that he had on his head? We just said he had armor basically on his whole body. He had this helmet covering his whole head, made out of copper. How did it get through the armor? So, according to the Malbim, what happened was, when David said that I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky, Goliath actually looked up to the sky, and right then he shot the rock into that little space where his eyes are, and that's how he was able to fit his forehead to his forehead, because Goliath looked up to the sky, and that's how it went through. However, the Medrash explains that there was actually a discussion between the Evan, between the rock, and the armor of Goliath. The Evan was telling the armor, I want you to go ahead and open up for me so I can kill, so I can hit Goliath. And the armor says, why should I? Give me a good reason to. And the Evan says, you know what? I'll give you a good reason. If you go ahead and open up for me, I promise you, see, until then, the Bris Milah was done with a rock, with a very sharp rock. Like we saw with Moshe Rabbeinu, he, Tzipor, made the Bris with
flint.
A tzor.
Flint.
A flint.
Flint,
yeah.
Very sharp.
A very sharp rock. And that's the way the Bris was done up until then. Now the rock is telling the armor, if you go ahead and open up to me, from now on the Bris will be done with metal instead of a rock, instead of a flint. And in fact, the metal agreed, and it opened up for the rock, and that's how the rock was able to penetrate through the armor of Goliath. So he went ahead and he fell down on his face. Why did he fall down on his face? So a few points. First of all, because he went ahead and cursed out Hashem, he cursed out the Jewish people, that's why his mouth fell into the ground. Another pshat the Malbim brings down is because Hashem wanted to be mekayim of the pasuk, I will bring your corpses over the corpses of your idols. And since Goliath had the shape of Dagon, which was the Plishtim's idol, engraved on his chest, onto the armor of his chest, so him falling down on his face, that pasuk of I will bring your corpses over the corpses of your idols will be fulfilled this way. And that's why Goliath fell forward, even though naturally if someone was hit on the head, you fall backwards. But he fell forwards in order to be Mekayim this pasuk.
It also said that he fell forward so David wouldn't have to, as a chus
right.
For David, so
right.
He wouldn't
so
have
David
to go.
David wouldn't have to run
over to get kill him.
Right, right. He fell forwards in order so David would be spared those few steps that he had to run over to Goliath and chop off his head. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, well, why is that really necessary? Obviously, David is serious nefesh. He's fighting this giant. He's doing a lot of here. Those few steps is really going to make such a big difference. But Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explains that an analogy, when you have two mothers, two women who change their baby's diapers, right? So if it's the nanny who's changing the baby's diaper, so she just changes the diaper and that's it. It's done. But the mother, after she changes the baby's diaper, she gives him a little kiss. She pinches him on the cheek. That's the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he treats the Jewish people, he tells them, listen, I want to give you a little something. Even it's not big, it's not small, but I'm showing you that I'm there with you. I want to show that you're taken care of and that I care for you. And that's why even the small little thing, those small gestures really go a long way. That's Hashem showing that he loves us.
So how did he You said he was stunned and he fell down.
Yeah, we're going to see right now what happens.
He's not dead.
Not dead yet, no.
But then he says he slew him.
Right. But then what? David ran ahead.
But what?
And we'll see. V'chazak David min ha-plishti b'kelo v'eben, v'yachas ha-plishti v'imutelo v'cherev in b'yad David. He went ahead and he did not have his own personal sword, but he took the sword of Goliath and he chopped off his head.
Oh,
yeah. He's not an arrow.
He said he slew him. He didn't slay him yet. He only slew him when he ran and got.
We're going to see in the next pasuk. Vayaratz David vayamid al plishti veigach zecharboy veishlafei mitaaro veimusaseu veichras ba'es reishoy veiru plishtim kimeis gibayram veyanusu. You're right. At this pasuk, he goes ahead and he takes the sword out of Goliath's
sheath.
Yeah. Sheath. That's what it's called?
S-H-E-A-T-H, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the other Pusik said he slew him, but he didn't slow him yet. The Pusik before, and there's no sword in his hand.
Right.
Right there, he slew him, but there was no sword in his hand.
It was good enough that he was going to...
Wait a minute.
I know.
Gauls is not dead yet, until he goes and takes the sword... From the Lord, then he slew him afterwards.
Right. No, so it says he slew him. However, the Malbim explains that he hit him in a way where he would have ended up dying. He did not kill him yet, but in time he would have died. Meaning, whatever, he was losing a lot of blood or whatever it is. It was an injury that would have killed him eventually.
But
he did not die yet.
But what is the purchase by Amseu?
By Amseu. So the Malbim explains he did not actually kill him. He only hurt him in a way where he would have eventually
okay,
died.
I understand this.
Yeah. Gave him a deadly wound.
Right.
Yeah, but when the English translation is it right. It says slow
right.
him. He didn't slow
right.
him yet.
Right. Right, only in the next pasuk we see where he actually takes out the sword and then he chops off his head.
He got him ready for the slaughter.
Right. Yeah. Pasuk in base 52. Ve'musa anshe Yisrael ve'yudo. Ve'kumu anshe Yisrael ve'yudo ve'yariv ve'yudufu as a plishtim ad be'ech ha'gai v'ad shari ekrein ve'yipulu chal le plishtim b'derach sharaim ve'ad gas v'ad ekrein. Now the Jewish people realize that the plishtim are running away. They're terrified because their great hero Goliath was killed. And the Jewish people get up, they chase the Plishtim until Ekron, and they kill many, many Plishtim over along the way. They come back from defeating the Plishtim, and they take all the booty from the camps of the Plishtim. Now David brings the head of Goliath to Jerusalem, and he brings his kelim as well, his weapons too. He puts it in his tent.
Who's
Amma?
I mean, he brought who's Amma? He brought Goliath's armor and he put it in the tent.
Yeah, Goliath.
His armor in his tent.
Right. I mean, Goliath is.
He brought Gauls' head and his armor.
And his armor,
and
yeah.
He showed him the head and the armor he put in
the
tent.
Yeah, in the tent, yeah.
All right.
But he didn't bring it to Yerushalayim, right? This was later on.
Right. It's brought down that the sword of Goliath was Noiv Ira Koyanim. We're going to see that later on in Parak Chafalev. Now, this pasuk is very weird. Shaul obviously knew who David was. He was his personal servant. Why is he asking Avner, his general, who is this boy? Who is this man? He knew exactly who he was. So, two pshatim. One pshat is, that once Ruach Hashem possesses a person, he becomes a completely different man. He changes completely, and therefore Shaul did not recognize David anymore, because he was so elevated spiritually. Another pshat is that in fact, Shaul knew exactly who David was. But now, since he knew that David was going to marry his daughter, he wanted to find out his lineage. See, those days, lineage was a very important thing. And he did not want his daughter marrying someone from dubious lineage. Therefore, he went out asking his general, who is the family of David? I want to know who he is, where he's from. Avner replies, he says, I don't know. So Shaul says, I want you to go ahead and find out, ask the people who this man is.
First, in all of Pesukim, they call him David Anar.
Now they call him Elam. Yeah. Right, so the Malbim explains that beforehand, Shaul did not really respect David. He was like a young boy. Anar was like a young boy. But now that he's telling Avner to ask around, to ask the people, he wants to respect him and treat him in a much more honorable way. Therefore, he refers to him as Elam. Elam is a much older man, an older person. And therefore, since he wants the people it's a more respected.
Elam is a more respected term.
Yeah.
Calling someone Anar.
Yeah. Anar is like a boy, you know, a boy. Elam is like a man already. That's why he changes over here. When David comes back from killing Goliath, he brings the head to Shaul and he shows it to Shaul. David does not realize yet that Shaul wants to find out about his lineage, so he just says, listen, I'm David, the son of Yishai, we live in Beis Lechem. Nothing special. There's no specialty of the family. Later, we're going to find out that Shaul finds out that Yishai comes from very respected lineage, and he actually gives. We're going to see exactly how it pans out, but David will end up marrying the daughter of Shaul. Okay, we'll stop here.